Morning, church. Thank you, Nigel and Emma, for worship and for praise. I have this curious look on my face because I've just preached my sermon and realised that I didn't press the record button. So here we go. Sunday morning, take two. I want to give some notices, first of all, and I want to thank you for your patience and thank you for tuning in to our online service. Rachel's funeral has already taken place. Obviously, places were limited. Rachel's family had their own minister, so he took the service, and I'm sure he did her proud. I understand that Rachel's son, Thomas, attended virtual online, and he planted the tree in his mum's memory, which was very sweet. I also understand that Stephen watched the funeral service and listened online as well. He got up, got dressed, and was able to be part of that, which is good. Also, just to let you know, church, that I have been asked by the coroner's office to prepare a statement on behalf of Rachel, just to be part of that process of trying to work out what happened in her final hours, days and weeks. And I have now sent my report in, and Judy is preparing a small book in order to complement some of the things that we've already said about Rachel, in order to help others in the future maybe see some processes changed because of what we have to say. So pray for Judy and myself, and pray for the coroner to receive this documentation in the heart in which it was sent. Just to say, going forward, we've been in lockdown for many weeks now, and I'm sure that some of you are anxious to get out, and some of you are anxious to meet up with family members and children and grandchildren. Some of you who have children, they're at home 24/7, and maybe some of the neighbours are getting a bit anxious because they're hearing your children play and they're not used to it. I know for me, we have three children next door, and they're awesome. But there's something about the screams of girls, isn't there, that go right through the earlobes out the other side. But ultimately, they are having fun. They are healthy and they're good. And I need to celebrate that. There are people who can only make phone calls, and it's frustrating at times. Can I say, be prayerful, be mindful, stay safe and be blessed. I want to talk about peace today, and it was a subject that I found it difficult to know what to articulate to us today. I normally go for a prayer walk in the mornings, and I asked the Lord to highlight some things to me, and I found it difficult this week. I don't know if it was because of preparing that statement for Rachel or not, or just that I was blank. And I got home a few days ago, and I started to read my Bible rather than read my Bible online. I normally listen to the Bible, and I had this Bible given me, and it's a Life Application Study Bible, King James Version. It's a large print, and I'd never looked at the very front cover before, and I did this week, and this is what it says. Let me share it with you. Can you see that? I'm stepping into freedom. I'm making a decision to forgive. I will depend on the Holy Spirit's help. I will obey God's word, and I will bless others. And I thought, what a challenge that is. And looking at peace, there's a scripture in Genesis 15:15. It says, you, however, and it's a covenant that God had made with Abram. With Abram before he became Abraham. And Abram became Abraham, father of many people. And Abram and God had this relationship, this covenant. And although God's people were going to go into captivity, and this was proclaimed in the scriptures beforehand, and they were going to go through strife, they were going to come out victorious and with much wealth. But he's talking to Abram here, and he said, but you, however, will go to your ancestors in peace and be buried at a good old age. And for me, I'm in my 60th year, and time is going so fast. And I'm saying, Lord, I understand the scripture that says to live is Christ, to die is gain. I don't want to go anywhere yet. I want to be part of blessing my family and my community. I've got things to do, I believe, on this earth. And I would like to live a long, prosperous life and lay my head down in peace. And there's lots of things that I can do in order to receive that peace. And when you look at peace from a worldly perspective, church, it depends on many external factors like absence of conflict, absence of war, financial provision, being healthy. There's lots of things that are external, and that's a worldly peace. But the peace that God speaks about through his word is an inner peace. It's not just an attitude of well-being. It's not just being in a position where there's no conflict. It's something that happens on the inside, regardless of conflict. So today I want to speak about peace. Jenny, I'll try and speak a bit louder. It's unusual for people to ask me to be louder rather than quieter, but I'll do my best to speak up so that you can hear me clearly, and that Paul will definitely stay awake during this message. Trust you well, be blessed. You, however, will go to your ancestors in peace and be buried at a good old age. That peace that God talks about, that peace that transcends all understanding, is the peace that I want. It's the peace that I want to live in. So that means I'm going to be challenged to change. In Matthew 6, verse 12, going from this statement, I'm stepping into freedom. I'm making the decision to forgive. If we want the peace of God, we have to make a decision. And to forgive others will bring us peace. By blessing others will bring us peace. But it's a decision that we have to make. So whether you've been a Christian a short time or a long time, this is for you and this is for me. This message is also for those that are not yet in the kingdom, but are searching. Because our prayer is that you will be blessed and that you will find peace with God. It says in Matthew 6, verse 12, and forgive our debts, forgive our sins, as we also have forgiven our debtors. Forgive us our sins, God, as we forgive others who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And I have been asked about this portion of scripture over the years. Well, surely God doesn't tempt us. He doesn't. But he knows that we are tempted. He knows that temptation comes from the evil one. So take this scripture. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. The enemy comes to snatch and to steal the seed, God's word that he's planted in our hearts. Yes, yes. He comes to sow discord instead of peace. So our prayer is that God will lead us not into temptation, but protect us from the evil one. Lord, help us. Temptation, it will not do its work until it's fully conceived. So when we are tempted, we need to recognize that our temptation comes from the evil one, from the devil, and that God's power will bring us peace in the troubled times so that we can be those of a forgiving heart and a forgiving nature. So I'm making a decision to forgive. That's one of the things that the writer, whoever it was who put this down, acknowledges as part of their walking in freedom. Making a decision to forgive. And if we choose to forgive, then we will find peace. In John 20, 22, it says this. Looking at the second point of this, I will depend on the Holy Spirit's help. I will. It's an act of the will. I will depend on the Holy Spirit's help. In John 20, 22, it says this, and with that he breathed on them, Jesus, receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a gift from God. Remember what Jesus said to his disciples. He said, I need to go, because if I go, I will send the Comforter. I will send the Holy Spirit. Receive him. So we need to be in a position where we will receive the Holy Spirit. If we depend upon the Holy Spirit for help, we will find that peace that transcends all understanding. What does that mean? We can't comprehend it, but we know there's a formula. And that formula is this. Me, my, myself, we don't have peace. Allowing God in me through the power of the Holy Spirit, I receive peace. So we can either do things our way or His way. Receive the Holy Spirit. And that's what I want to say to us as a church today. To find that peace in troubled situations, we need to receive. Receive the Holy Spirit so the Holy Spirit will convince us and convict us and enable us to be able to forgive. To forgive from the heart. So let's pray together at this moment. Father God, we thank You that You give us the ability to forgive and find Your peace. Father, we thank You that You've given us a gift of the Holy Spirit. We receive Your Holy Spirit afresh today. Fill us afresh, Lord, we pray. We are but clay pots. You're the potter, Lord. We are the clay. Father God, we are porous in these times where we don't do the things that we know we should do. So Father God, forgive us, fill us, enable us to receive Your power afresh. That, Father God, that we may be who You've called us to be, and we may receive that peace that transcends all understanding. That peace that will enable us to walk through troubled waters. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm a little bit out of breath because this is the second time that I've preached this message this morning. So please bear with me. In Luke 6:27, it says this, But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies. And do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. And pray for those who mistreat you. I will obey God's word and bless others. I will. It's an act of the will. I will obey God and bless others. It's difficult sometimes, isn't it? What does God mean when He says to love your enemies? Well, it's to do good to them. You know, there's things we can't change, and there's boundaries that we shouldn't cross, and we certainly don't invite people of real bad character into our sphere of influence. But we can influence them. We can bless them and not curse them. We can do good to them and treat them the way that we would want them to treat us, even though they seem to be an enemy with God and an enemy with us. It says, but to you who are listening, and this is a thing for me and you, we can't act upon God's word unless we hear it. So if you are listening, then this is for you. Love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. Whenever God asks us to do something, He gives us the answer. It says, do good, bless, pray. We can bless them verbally. Lord, I pray that You bless my neighbours, bless my enemies, bless those that are saying all kinds of evil things against me. Bless them, Lord. Open their eyes, Father God, that they may see You. Let's pray together for those that we know are against God and they're against us. Let's pray that we may receive peace in that troubled situation. Let's do that now. Father God, we thank You that You are ultimately in control. There's nothing that You don't know is happening. Father God, I want to be obedient to Your word. I'm listening. Father God, those that are enemies of mine, enemies of Yours, Father, do good to them. Help me, Father God, to be articulate in what I say. Help me to bless them, Father God, and not curse them. Help me to pray for them, Father God, that You may bless them, that You may open their eyes and stop their ears, that, Father God, they may receive Your peace at this time. We pray for the conflicts that we're going through, Father God, that not only will we have peace in this situation, but You'll repair broken lives. Father, we don't understand why people do the things they do, but they may be hurting, Lord. Heal their hurts, we pray. We pray for those, Father God, that You've highlighted to us, Lord. Lord, reveal Yourself to them. May they receive the peace that transcends all understanding. May they be one with You. May they, Father God, be able to experience the inner peace that You've given us. Lord, ultimately bless them, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Already feels better, doesn't it? We already feel that peace that God gives us if we pray that prayer from the heart. And In Romans 12:14, it says, "Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those that rejoice. Mourn with those that mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone." Wow, God's word is challenging, isn't it? Then it goes on in verse 18. "If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone." As far as it is possible, if it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. There is a peace that God gives us. And there is a worldly peace. We can be part of being, the Bible said, "Blessed are the peacemakers." We can make peace by choosing not to be offended, by choosing to bury the offense, ultimately having given it to God, being led by the Holy Spirit, choosing to forgive, choosing to prayerfully bless others, because it depends on us. So God challenges us to live at peace with everyone. But there are times where that strife, that warfare, that injustice overwhelms us. That's why I'm not talking about a worldly peace, I'm talking about a spiritual peace. If we do the right thing with the right heart and we give it to God and we allow the Holy Spirit to work in us, God will give us that peace. But we need to give it to Him, because it depends on us. "Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. As it is written, 'It is mine to avenge, I will repay,' says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. He is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head." In other words, the burning coals are blessings. The more blessings your enemy has, the more strife that will go, the more likely he or she is to receive the grace of God. We're talking about peace today. We're talking about God's peace. Numbers 6:24, it says this: "The Lord bless you." This is a portion of scripture that is read out very often at dedications. It's a priestly prayer. It's a prayer that I've started to use at funerals to pray for the mourners, to give them an opportunity to say, "Yes, I want to receive God's peace." "May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you and turn his face towards you, and may he give you peace." The ultimate peace that mankind needs is peace with God. To make our peace with God, ultimately, is to acknowledge that we are sinners and that Christ is our Saviour, that God so loved the world that he gave himself for us, that all those that believe in him would be saved, and part of salvation is peace, inner peace. To live is Christ, to die is gain. That inner peace. So let's pray as a church. Let's pray. Maybe there's people listening to this that have never prayed this prayer and they haven't got that peace. Maybe you've been in the church for many, many years and you've heard sermon after sermon, but you've never really experienced that peace that I'm speaking about, that peace that transcends all understanding. It doesn't depend on how much you have in the bank, how much food you have in the storehouse. It doesn't depend on how your neighbours treat you, how your family treat you. It doesn't depend on external, but it just simply depends on the internal. Well, that peace can only be found through repentance and acceptance that Jesus is your Lord and Saviour. Let's pray that we receive that peace. And if you're not sure, if you have that relationship with God, then say amen to my prayer. Amen means yes, let it be. Father God, I thank you that I have an opportunity today to receive your peace. Father, forgive me for living my life my way. Forgive me of my sins, my transgressions, the things that I know I shouldn't do that are contrary to your word. Forgive me, Lord, that I may experience your forgiveness. Lord, I pray that I won't rely upon myself, but I would accept the gift of the Holy Spirit that will guide me and lead me in paths of righteousness, so I may have a right standing with you. I acknowledge my need of you today, Lord, afresh, or maybe for the first time. Lord, enter me, I pray, through the power of your Holy Spirit, and give me that peace that transcends all understanding. Lord, I accept your forgiveness. Help me to walk in freedom, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you, be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and may he give you peace. Amen. Let's accept that peace that God gives us. Unconditional love, unconditional peace, but we need to hear his word, act upon his word, receive the chastisement of the Holy Spirit at times, keep short accounts with God, short accounts with others, and live in the peace that God gives us. Even though there may be turmoil around you, you can still experience that peace. In Psalm 29:11, the Lord gives strength to his people. That's you and me. We're his people. You know, I've heard it on the TV and I've kind of tuned into this saying, you know, when people are talking about their family, their friendship groups, they say, these are my people. These are my people. They may not be connected by birth, but they're part of their friendship group. They're part of the same system. They're in their gang. These are my people. Well, the Lord gives strength to his people. That's you and me. We're his people. We're his chosen ones. He spoke. We heard. We asked to be forgiven. He forgave us. He gives us peace. The Lord gives strength to his people. So he will strengthen you this day. He'll strengthen you and help you through this situation. Accept his peace today. The Lord blesses his people with peace. There is a blessing. Now, blessings are good things, aren't they? You have curses, they're bad. Blessings are good. The Lord blesses his people with peace. God wants to give us that peace. Maybe you are walking in that peace and this is only for one or two people. Well, Jesus says this. He left the 99 in order to go after the one. If you're just the one who needs to hear this message today, then hear it, receive it, digest it, live in it. Accept that peace that God has for you. You've already asked for forgiveness. You're already his child. You're his people. He wants to bless you. In John 14:27 says this. Jesus is speaking here. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Now, Jesus lived a life of peace, a life of relationship with his heavenly Father. Christ, the three in one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I know it's difficult sometimes to get your head around that, but he was fully man and fully God, yet he was obedient to the call that the Father had on his life. And it says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. And there is a peace, because he goes on to say this. I do not give you as the world gives. There is a worldly peace. Now remember, Jesus knew. He knew the life that he was to live and he knew the death he was to die. And if you read the account of what happened in the garden, Jesus was fully aware of the anguish and the torment and the torture that he was to go through in order to pay for your sin and my sin. He was troubled. He was anguished. He gets to the garden and he says, Father, if it is possible, remove this cup from me. This cup of pain, this cup of anguish, but not my will, but your will be done. And ultimately, he died on a cross as a sacrifice for me and you. So clearly, there's a difference between external and internal peace. The will of God for Christ's life, the will of the Father, brought peace in troubled situations. And we hopefully won't have to suffer on a cross, but we do have a cross to bear. If we rely on the external peace, it will cause us to be in anguish. If we rely on the internal peace, I do not give you to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. Trouble and fear bring strife and anxiety and ultimately robs us of our peace. The inner peace, that peace that we know we have salvation, that peace that we know our Redeemer lives, that peace that we know that God is ultimately in control, even though at times it may seem like chaos, that peace that know that if I die, I will live. I will have an eternal resting place with God. That peace that knows that I can pray for my neighbours and see a situation change. That peace that will know that we can pray for our loved ones, our families, and see God do a change, a miraculous work. That peace that we know that we are clean on the inside. That's the peace that God is talking about. That peace that is not external, that doesn't depend on being conflict-free, but it depends on being righteous with God, right standing. I want to leave you with this final portion of scripture, if I may, in Philippians 4:6. It says, do not be anxious. And there's a, don't be anxious, brothers and sisters. And that's a difficult one, isn't it? Do not be anxious about anything. And then whenever God asks us to do something, he gives us the answer. He doesn't leave us dangling there. He doesn't leave us in a situation where we're wondering, well, what do I do about this? So often when we read scripture, we're expecting a translation, but the scripture translates it for itself. So listen to what God says. Starting at verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. See, God is near to us. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer, petition and thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. See, God knows that we'll be anxious. He knows that we'll be in need. There's a portion of scripture that really encourages me, and it's the one where Paul and Silas is in prison in the inner cell, and they're in full darkness. There is no light at all. They're chained, maybe one to another and to the wall. They're chained up. They're in bondage. They're going nowhere physically. And in the natural, you could understand that their hearts would be heavy, and they're wondering, God, why have you abandoned me? Anxiety overtakes, fear overtakes, worry overtakes. But they know that God has spoken to them. They know the keys to inner peace. And for them, it says that they start to sing and pray and give thanksgiving. And as they start to sing and to pray and be thankful of who they are in Christ Jesus, suddenly the cares and worries of the world passes away. And that peace that transcends all understanding that the Bible talks about, that we can't understand, is an inner peace. If I live, then I live to Christ. If I die, then I have an eternal inheritance. So, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer, a petition and thanksgiving, present your request to God. Lord, bless me that I may be a blessing. Lord, forgive me that I may be blessed to be able to forgive those that sin against me. Father God, help me that I may be a help. Lord, I pray for that inner peace. I give you thanks for who I am. And start to think of things that you can thank God for. Present your requests to God. So when we're praying and we're giving thanks, we're also asking. We're thanking God for who he is. We're thanking God that he's forgiven us. We're thanking God that we can receive that gift. But we're also giving him our heart. We're saying, Lord, you know that I'm concerned about. And you give it to God through thanksgiving. Make your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And as we do that, church, then suddenly the mountain does become the molehill. The problems that cause us anxiety, we give to him. And God will give us that inner peace. So I trust that you will dissect this message, that you will take out what it is you need for this week, that you will rely upon God, rely upon the Holy Spirit, choose to forgive, choose to walk in freedom. I'm stepping into freedom. I'm making a decision to forgive. I will depend on the Holy Spirit. I will obey God's word. Let's not just be hearers, but doers. Church, be blessed. Be who God's called you to be. Let's move forward this week in the peace of God.